We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
In 1 Corinthians, I'm actually already on the page I want to be on. What do you know? I want to start reading in chapter 12 and verse 1. I want to talk to you this morning about the gifts of the Spirit and their operation in the church, and even specifically in our church. Verse 1, chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So if he didn't want them to be ignorant, we shouldn't be ignorant either. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I will show you a more excellent way. So here we have Paul talking to the church, listing the different gifts of the Spirit. 9 gifts of the Spirit. And here's the thing. I think somehow church today, in many places, not I don't think everywhere, but in many places, somehow we have strayed away from these gifts. These gifts are not meant to be optional. They're not meant to be just for some. This is meant to be church as usual. This is meant to be normal. This is meant to be people go to church because you know when you go there that there could be miracles taking place. There could be a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, a tongue and interpretation of tongue. There could be gifts of faith, miracles, and healings in operation. This is the way. And here's the thing. Does it say that all of these were given to one person? No. Does it say that all of these were given to only ministers? No, these are given actually to the body of Christ. And I feel like for a large portion of the church world is that many people are coming to church to see a minister almost in a way perform. And it can't be that way. You know, I love good preaching, and I love to preach because it builds faith. But ultimately, the church as a whole has to be stirred up in this area to desire the gifts of Spirit in operation, and then to have them working in all the members of the church. Because if I don't have all the gifts of the Spirit in operation in my life, I wish I did. I wish I had all 9 gifts of the Spirit working in my life. Unfortunately, I don't. I wish I did, but I don't. So that means that if they're to be in operation in this church, then that means there have to be other people getting involved. And I think that somehow church has become a spectator sport rather than a participation. where many people are just there to observe. But as we mature as believers, we should be seeing these gifts of the Spirit in operation in our own lives. Now, for one person, like it says there, there's differences in operation, there's differences in administration. It doesn't mean that everybody's going to operate the same way. It doesn't mean that everybody's going to have the same gift. But I have a passion, I have a desire to see our church be a church where the gifts of the Spirit are allowed to operate. Where it's not even just about me on a Sunday morning being able to stand up and give a word to everybody and pray for some people and then we all go home. I want to see miracles take place. And honestly, I don't care if it happens through me or if it happens through one of you. Because it's not all going to happen through me. It's not. I'm not going to I think sometimes like people, when they come forward, they are expecting a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. They want me to like pray. And I'm not saying that maybe it's just in my mind, but I feel like many times when people are coming for prayer, they want me to give them a special word. They want me to prophesy over them. But that prophecy is a gift of the Spirit and it's as the Spirit will. So I cannot just cook up for you a nice little message from directly from heaven. And people that claim to do that, where they always are able to give a prophecy, it makes me wonder, how is that so if it's up to the Holy Spirit? How are you always able to give everybody a word? How can you at will, based on somebody giving you an offering, decide that you're going to give a word of wisdom to them? It's not that way. Now, I want to go over really where I wanted to get to. I feel like that was important, but I wanted to get to chapter 14. Because chapter 14 is where it gets into a bit of the operation of the gifts in the church. Verse 1, pursue love. And I love how that starts the chapter and how in between the middle of 12 and 14 is a whole chapter dedicated to love. Because I think what could be a tendency of people is once they experience power, they forget love. Because you get obsessed with the power of the miracles and of faith and operating in the gifts of the Spirit that people forget the just genuine love for other people. The whole reason that we are to minister to other people is because of the love of God on the inside of us. So I don't think it's chance that Paul's writing about the gifts of the Spirit. Then, by the way, I'm going to show you a greater way and I'm going to explain to you how love works for an entire chapter. And then again, in chapter 14, as he goes to talk about the administration of the gifts of the Spirit and how they work in a service, once again starts with pursue love. So I shared this last year as I was teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, is that the foundation of any gift of the Spirit to operate in your life is love. We must be full of the God kind of love, the love for other people. So before anybody pursues gifts, pursue love. But then once you have love, desire spiritual gifts. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now he's going to go here and he's going to talk about a little bit on tongues and prophecy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies who? Himself. Edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So I'm all for speaking in tongues. I love praying in tongues. And honestly, if you see me praying in tongues, I would love for everybody to join in and participate in praying in tongues, because me just praying in tongues does nothing for any of you. So if I decide to, for the next few minutes here, pray in tongues, it would be literally, literally a waste of your time to sit there. It would do nothing for you. You might think that sounds nice, it's cool, it's spiritual, but for you, it will do absolutely nothing for you to listen to someone pray in other tongues. Because when you pray in other tongues, it is for yourself. Now, he's going to also talk about the gift of tongues with the interpretation. That is where it brings edification to the church. So let's go on. I wish you all spoke with tongues. We have to stop there. You see, Paul says, I wish you all spoke with tongues, inspired by the Holy Spirit. He wasn't saying that some of you should pray in tongues. I wish that some of you spoke in tongues, right? No, he says, I wish that all of you spoke in tongues, which implies that not all of you do, right? Otherwise, he wouldn't have need to said that. He would have just said, thank God that all of you pray in tongues. But he's saying, I wish that you all spoke in tongues. It implies that not everyone there that he was writing to spoke in tongues, but that he desired that they all should, that they all would. So it's not just, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is and the speaking in tongues is not for just some people. It's for everybody. But you have to desire it, and you have to desire so much. God, come fill me, and he will baptize you. And then it takes faith for you to open your mouth, wiggle your tongue, and let the words come out. Many people are waiting for the Holy Spirit to do the wiggling of the tongue for them. I used to be one of them. I used to think that the Holy Spirit was going to force me, that he was going to make me, that he was going to be the one speaking the words through my mouth. And it wasn't until I heard teaching on speaking in tongues and that it actually requires faith, the same faith that you use to get saved, you use to get filled with the Holy Spirit, and the same faith is that which will give you the ability to speak in tongues. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless he indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. So when I pray in tongues as a minister, it's only beneficial to you as the congregation if we're all praying in tongues together. Otherwise, you might as well just like twiddle your thumbs or pull out your phone and play battleships or something. You know, like, I don't know, read your Bible, do something, but just sitting in a congregation listening to someone pray in tongues does not benefit anyone. But when you pray in tongues, it says, what does praying in tongues do for you? It edifies you. It edifies the real you, your spirit. It doesn't make your body any different, but it makes your spirit man stronger. Edification means to build up, to strengthen. So it's important, and that's why Paul is saying, I wish you all spoke with tongues, because you all would be a lot more spiritually strong. You would be stronger spiritually if you all prayed in tongues. But in a church setting, in a setting like this, it would be better to prophesy, because prophecy is spoken in the language that the people understand. In our case, English. So when I prophesy, it should be in English, and that will bring exhortation to the church. Prophesy is to declare the word of the Lord. Verse 6. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? So even Paul here is saying that if I were to just come to you speaking in tongues, it's not going to do you any good. Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise, you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, I do not know the meaning of the language. I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts. You see that? He's writing to people that are zealous for spiritual gifts. This is something that we as the church have to embrace. We have to become zealous for spiritual gifts. Let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. So when I seek spiritual gifts, I'm not doing it for a selfish motive. I'm not doing it for my ministry's success, right? What is the purpose of spiritual gifts according to Paul here? It's for the edification of the entire church, for the body of Christ. Since you are zealous for spiritual gifts. You know, that preacher that I was telling you about from Texas, he was zealous against Santa Claus. You know what I mean? Like, he did some crazy stuff because he didn't like Santa Claus. He was zealous about the fact that Santa wasn't real, so he decided, I'm going to march into that mall and tick off a whole bunch of people, and I don't care what anybody thinks, because they need to know the truth that Santa isn't real, right? He was zealous. Zealous along, you know, maybe the wrong path of trying to win converts to Christianity, but he was zealous. I don't think anybody that watches that video would deny that. In the same sense, we have to become zealous for spiritual gifts, that we will do whatever it takes, that we will become infatuated with seeing the spiritual gifts in operation in our life. And not just because you're in ministry, but because you're a Christian believer. Because you are born again and you're spirit-filled, you should desire zealously spiritual gifts. So even in a service, you should be not just thinking just about what it is I'm here to receive, but what is it that I'm here to give. Now, before I get ahead of myself, I want to make it very clearly known that in 1 Corinthians 5:12 it says to know those who labor among you. So in our church, it's not a free-for-all. Now, that's like why we put up on the screen, you know, no laying on of hands, because we don't just know everybody, and it's for your own safety. If someone walks in here and we have no idea who they are, and they might be into the occult or something weird and strange doctrines, and it's just a free-for-all, then they can just go around laying hands on. It's not that I like to be the sole person that wants all the power and the glory. No, it's not to do with that. It's for protection. And in the same sense, we like to know people before anybody gets up here and gives a prophecy. I'm going to know who you are. And so in that sense, people that have been coming here for at least a year would be the people that would be encouraged to get up and to minister in the gifts. And that, do I have a scripture for that? No. But Paul didn't give a length of time as to how long he should know you. But I feel like after a year, if you can, you know, a lot of people can go to a church for 3 months, for 6 months, for 8 months, for 10 months, and they can sit there and they can put some money in the offering and they can say amen. But after a year, I feel like if you give a year, that means like you really know what's going on and you're actually committed, right? So if you can't give a year to a church and you want to get up and just operate in the gifts of the Spirit, I feel like what is really your motive? Like, is it really to bring edification to that church? Like, how do you even really know that church? Do you even care about the people there? Because when you love people, you'll care about them and you'll want to see them edified. So for us, it's just a matter of, like, we want to know the people that are here and we want to know that their motives are pure and we want to know that, you know, their life isn't crashing all around them, and yet they want to be ministering to other people. So, but maybe you're newer here, maybe you've been coming here for a few months. There's no problem with that. Just come longer and get to know us, and we want people to be able to minister as the Holy Spirit leads them. And if you've been here for a while, and you're like, man, you know, there's been several times where during the service, I felt like I should go pray for that person because, like, the Lord gave me a word for them. If we know you, we trust you, come to me, come to Pastor Julia, and I guarantee that if you tell us that, we will allow it. But, you know, the Bible, and even here, he talks about doing things in an orderly fashion where it's not just like a free-for-all, where everyone just gets up and everyone's just prophesying to each other. You know, here, later on in the chapter, he talks about let one prophet prophesy and then have two or three other prophets there to judge. So it wasn't just like, you know, you get one prophet up and he just gives a word and everybody's like, hooray. And no, it was like they were actually making sure that the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophet. Yes. That things were done right, that things were done according to the Holy Spirit as by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And prophecy, while we're on the subject, is not done from anything to do with your carnal mind thinking. When I was in church growing up, we had a guest minister, a quote prophet, that came to our church and taught us all how to prophesy. And he said, after he taught us how to do it, he says, I want you to pair up with a partner and you're going to prophesy to them. First of all, what happened to Acts or 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where the gifts of the Spirit are distributed individually as the Spirit wills? He just ignored that scripture that says that it's not up to you who has the gift of prophecy. It's, even Paul wrote, do all prophesy. With the implication was no, not everyone prophesies. So how can you, as a minister, come to a church and tell everyone, I'm going to teach you all how to prophesy, and then you're going to prophesy? Prophecy is not something that is taught. It's something that's caught. It's something that is imparted to you from the Holy Spirit. It's not just something that I'm, I feel like I'm going to go to church and prophesy to some people today. No. No, you don't. It's not a feeling. And so what the minister proceeded to do was to tell us to think about that individual, and then what sort of, in this example, he said, what kind of animal comes to mind when you think of that person? And to me, like, it was like, a bear came to mind. And then you think about what that animal is and how it represents that person. You know, I just see you as being warm and cuddly, but ferocious in the spirit. And, you know, like, that was like the prophecy that you'd give to people. You know, you're like an eagle. You're like soaring above the storms, and you're just like enjoying the view of life. You know, and you learn intellectually how to prophesy. Prophecy is not an intellectual thing. So how on earth? I don't want to know where that guy went to school. I would go to that school and just let those people have it. Because for years, I didn't know any better. And for years, I thought that's what prophecy actually was. And I thought that, I learned how to prophesy. So if I want to prophesy to Andy right now, you remind me of a turtle. Because you're slow, but you're really strong. You have a hard shell, but you're soft on the inside. This is Turtle Andy. You know, like, I mean, so there's a problem with that. But, you know, so many people are ignorant to that, and they just raise their hands. Oh, amen, Lord, praise God, I'm a turtle in the spirit. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Like, how did he know? Like, it's because you're relating the fact that I know something about someone carnally does not necessarily translate to what is going on in the spirit. You can't just say things like that. So you actually have to be led by the Holy Spirit in these things. It's a big deal. It's not something that you can just cook up on your own. You either got it or you don't, and it's not up to you to choose. But you gotta be zealous about these things to figure out what you got on the inside. Because obviously, Paul is saying that all of you are supposed to have something. Actually, I want to read that. I'm skipping way ahead, but verse 26 says, How is it then, brethren? Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm. Who? Each of you. Each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. He's saying that everybody that comes has something. So what is the something that God has given to you when you come to service? You know, and I understand in bigger congregations, sometimes it would be tricky if you had, you know, over 1,000 people and everybody wants to get up and prophesy and everybody wants to get up and, you know, operate in gifts of spirit and lay hands on people and see miracles happen. So there has to be some more structure there. But, you know, right now we're at a place where we're not at that level and we can flow a little bit differently. And I feel like during this time we need to take advantage of that, where I can get to know the people that are here and where you can be trained up and raised up in the gifts of the Spirit. And I'm not going to be able to tell you how to get everything. I don't know how to flow in prophecy and words of wisdom and words of knowledge. I mean, unless the Lord, like sometimes I pray for people and I just feel like an unction to say something to them. But in general, I'm not reading people's mail, as it's called, where like I just know like your business. I don't know anybody's business here. You know, people sometimes they come to church and they're like, They think that because like it's a spirit-filled church that the pastor knows everything about everybody in the spirit. I don't. If you tell me you like pizza, I might remember that a year later and be like, you like pizza. And it wasn't a word of knowledge. I just know it because you told me it. I don't know everything about you because that's not something that I've been known to have received from the Holy Spirit. It might happen. The Lord might give me a word of wisdom for somebody as the Spirit wills. I do know that there's been many times that I've prayed for people and laid hands on them that they've gotten healed. So I feel like that's something that the Lord has given me, the gift of the Spirit to be able to pray for people and see them get healed. And that might be combined with faith because I have faith for people to get healed. So I feel like those are areas that the Lord works in me in, which leaves several other gifts that are lacking. And I don't want our church to be lacking. Amen? Because sometimes people need a word of wisdom. Sometimes the church needs a tongue and an interpretation of tongues. And you know, many times people, they'll get the faith to give the tongue and yet not the faith to interpret the tongue. Actually, look here. Where is it? Verse 13, I think. Therefore, let him who speaks in tongue pray that he may interpret. Let the guy who gave the tongue, let the lady who gave the tongue pray that he or she may interpret. You know, I think the easy thing to do is to stand up in a Pentecostal service and go, sha-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, and then just, well, hope people are spiritual enough to interpret that. But no, if you have the faith to stand up and pray in the Spirit in a word of interpretation, and let, because Paul here then he also says, unless there is someone to interpret it, you're better off staying silent. Or unless you got the faith to pray and interpret it yourself. So I would love that. I would love to see members in our church to be able to operate in this, where you feel the overwhelming burden to pray in the Spirit, in the gift of the Spirit, in tongues, and then to have someone interpret it. You know, I really desire that we see these gifts of the Spirit in operation. And sometimes, you know, I think about it, and I think that, like, man, the church as a whole in many places, not just here, but here as well, we're missing stuff. You know, I want to see these things happening. I want us to go to the Book of Acts type of church. I want us to be known as that, where a church where the gifts of the Spirit really are in operation. And you'll know if they're real, you know, like, you know, if you give somebody a word of wisdom and they're like, that was not for me, I don't know who you're talking about, but like, you know, it had nothing to do with me or a word of knowledge, like, it's totally off. Well, then maybe that's not the gift that you've been given. And sometimes you try it and you figure it out. But I think the church as a whole is lacking in these gifts. And the way that Paul says to get it is to be zealously motivated to get it. That you're stirred up. I want this, God. Please, I want to be using that. This is one of my consistent prayers that I pray. Lord, use me more in the gifts of the Spirit to bring edification to the church. So I don't think that people should come to our church just to receive. You know, I think there's a time frame where when you're a new believer and you're new to the church that you do come and you do receive. But eventually you should learn to be able to give out what you have. God has put one of these gifts, or more than one, inside of you. God gives the gifts of the Spirit. We're all members of the body. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? I don't know what your gift is, but I want you to figure it out. And I want it to be able to be used in our church. So, if you know that this is something that God uses you to do, please, I'm being genuine, I want you to talk to me about it so that we can see that begin to happen here. You know, if you know that God has given you the ability, a gift of the Spirit, we want to see it taking place. We want to know who you are. You know, come here, support the ministry and be involved in it. Don't just come and like spectate. You know, don't come just once a week, twice a month, not involved in anything, and then think that you can just stand up and operate in the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, if other churches do that, that's fine. Not here, though. So I really hope, my only desire this morning is to stir up in all of us the desire for these gifts to operate on the inside of our church, on the inside of us individually. That we really see these happen, because I think that, you know, there's either two ways that really churches are growing rapidly in our time frame. You either back off completely from what I'm talking about and make it very seeker sensitive so that we don't talk about this kind of stuff, or you actually have it. You know, anyone that's like in between, you know, where they're just hanging on to their traditional services, there's no power, and they're not even seeker sensitive. You like walk into the church and it's 1980, people aren't going to those churches anymore. People are going to two kinds of churches: churches that have power from the Holy Spirit and churches that have a nice show. And I don't want to go that route. You know, I want to go the route of seeing actual power, the Holy Spirit, in operation from the whole congregation. Heavenly Father, I thank you that your anointing is here in this church. I thank you that your power is manifest in this room. Lord, I thank you that you stir us up a desire to flow in the gifts of your Spirit. Holy Spirit, we ask that you come. We welcome you here. We ask that we would flow with you as one body, as members individually of your church, that you would anoint every single one of us to participate in the way that you've created and designed us to do. Lord, I thank you for a Holy Ghost boldness coming on the inside of us to step out in faith and operate in what we believe that you've given us. Lord, I thank you for words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and prophecy, and tongues, and interpretation of tongues, and faith, and miracles. And Lord, I thank you that the gifts of the Spirit are in operation in this church so that when people come to this church, they know that there's something different, that there is power here, that they can come here and be healed physically, emotionally, that they can come here and receive supernatural direction from the Lord. Let's just take a moment and pray and edify ourselves in the Spirit. Lord, we ask that you come. Lord, we want to see you move in our church. I'll pray in the understanding and I'll pray in the Spirit. Lord, we ask that you use us, that you use us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, you're the head of the church. Jesus, you are the head of the church, and you've given us your Holy Spirit to lead us and direct us. I thank you, Lord, that you give us supernatural wisdom, the wisdom of heaven, how to operate in these gifts. Lord, I thank you for a greater manifestation of the gifts of your Spirit as a whole in this body.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.